Christopher Media. Eminem, question everything.
That's my mama.
That's my mama. That's my purse.
I don't know you.
You don't know. You're the first one that's ever got that. I say it all the time. Brianna's like, what?
King of the Hill references.
Yeah, King of the Hill.
You won't find those on any other podcast.
Eminem, question everything. On iTunes and ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. From AzmaCore Studios near Detroit, Michigan, it's Unregimented.
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Hey, it is Unregimented. It's episode 19.
We're going to Canada.
Oh hey. You're on this age thing.
We can see beavers.
And drink Molson triple X.
Because
you could see, if you see fully nude here, you can't have alcohol. But there, don't. All bets
are
off.
Fuck yeah.
Can you be fully nude?
Dude, yeah.
Well, I haven't been to the Windsor Ballet. I've been to just regular titty bar here.
Oh, yeah, they do fully nude over in Canada. And, yeah, the triple X is the shit. That was my beer when I would go over to Canada.
Yeah, buddy.
What kind of percentage is it?
I think it's like 8.9.
Yeah, that's a
lot.
It's 8. Yeah.
Eight something.
I don't know of any other beer that is that high and still tastes good.
Hey, thank you for listening, liking, and sharing Unregimented on Facebook, following us on Twitter at Unregimented Pod. You can also email us unregimented@christophermedia.net. Subscribe to Unregimented on iTunes for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on christophermedia.net. Android users, you can find Unregimented on Stitcher Radio. You can donate to Christopher Media by using the PayPal button on christophermedia.net. The ALS... No, wait. Fuck. I don't even care. That's how much I don't even know. I know it's called the Ice Bucket Challenge.
But
the
Lou Gehrig's disease.
Ice Bucket Challenge.
Okay, but, so you guys are familiar with the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everybody's seen this shit everywhere. Now, what the Ice Bucket Challenge really is seems to be there seems to be quite the debate over that. Everybody's got their own interpretation of it. And really, it just comes down to, I want to do something stupid on the internet.
It's the new Holy Bible.
It's the new Holy Bible?
Yeah, because people bring up stupid shit from the Bible all the time on the internet, and now they have this to bring up stupid shit and interpret it their own way, so...
Right, so...
Every moron jumps on it, too. I'm a Christian. I did the ALS bucket challenge. Shh, what the fuck ever? Who cares? Go be that by yourself.
Right. Well, a couple of interesting... I mean... We heard all the stories about, you know, everybody's dumping water over their heads and donating money, but is it that they are supposed to dump the water on their heads and not pay, or that they're donating money and paying, or they're donating less money and wait, I said this completely wrong.
Okay, hold on. This is how I heard it.
Right.
And this is how most people...
I'm confusing myself on this, goddammit.
This is how most people I know have interpreted it on the internet that I've seen that I know. And I know aren't functionally retarded, because I do have some friends on Facebook that are. Definitely won't name those names. But anyways, you get challenged initially. You're challenged in a group of like 5 to 7 people. So someone challenges you. You have 24 hours to either donate $100, do the ice bucket challenge yourself, donate $10, then nominate another 5 to 7 people you think are going to go through with it and either donate $100 or donate $10.
Okay.
Everybody I know that's actually donated did it this way. Didn't do the challenge, donated $100. And then, of course, you had the internet trolls come out. You didn't donate shit. So they posted a screenshot of the page saying thank you for your donation. And there's two parts you can donate to. A part where it funds the actual organization.
Yeah.
Or a part where, and that means only 27% of your donation goes to the organization. The rest of it goes towards running the organization, the day-to-day operations. Or you can... donate 100% to research. And that's where a lot of people don't read the fine print.
Yeah.
So they donate $100 and 27 of it goes to research. The rest of it goes to running the organization.
That seems like a lot of overhead for a charity organization.
No. Most charities only get like maybe 10 to 15% of the money that actually go towards the cause. Think about Easter Seals. Think about the MDA, Muscular Dystrophy Association. How much money it takes to run those companies to put on that telethon. You think the broadcasters are going to just give that airtime away for free?
Well, no. So, it seems weird to come out against donating to charity.
I'm going to come out against that.
We're coming out against self-serving assholes.
Yeah, that's the first thing is, you know, donate or don't. Encourage other people to donate through having conversations with them about this. If ALS is so near and dear to your heart, then get out there and talk it up and give people a reason to want to donate money to it. But yeah, this making a silly video of you dumping ice over your head is nothing but self-serving. And it's just another way to go, hey, look at me. Look how good I am. Just like all the people that are just waiting to pounce on anybody who says anything that could be construed as remotely racist or sexist or...
You know, fuck the internet. Well, that's the kind of week I'm having with the internet.
Obviously. But no,
In more ways than one.
I do feel this because I've had certain friends who've come online and said, I'm not doing it. Don't nominate me.
Yeah.
I did my research. Only 27% of their donations go towards the actual research for a cure. So fuck it, I'm not doing it.
Right.
And I'm like,
dude, nobody asked me. Or, you know, my sister did one. I didn't watch it. Whoops. Well, she probably didn't listen to this. But I bet I could have passed. But no, I think people that know me know. Like, I would tell them to go fuck themselves immediately.
Well,
I would do the cum bucket challenge.
The one person I know who said this that I actually believe.
Better watch what you ask for.
But that I actually believe went through with it and did not donate. But I know that she handles local charity organizations. Like, she literally on Sundays and Saturdays on her days off goes down to parks and feeds homeless people herself. And has a charity where 100% of the money goes to the people. She said that. And then a few of her friends who are less altruistic saw that, piggybacked on it, and started using it as an excuse not to do the challenge. And then it became, fuck the challenge. If you did it, you're a dumbass. We're not doing it. Now we're the cool kids in class. You know what I'm saying? It's like, really? So you took an idea to raise awareness and raise money, and we've yet again turned it into left versus right.
Right.
Black versus white.
Yeah.
We just have to accept it's in our nature that we want to fight. We really do. I mean, maybe not us three, but people in general, I think, really do. And what is that Tool song? He took a stance on every little issue.
Oh, Eulogy took a stance on every little thing.
Yeah, it's like people feel that they're obligated to do that now. By the way, I'm just... Okay. I can't look at Aaron just
getting slow. Down.
Where would I pull the trigger long? Grip my teeth, spray to Evan, who's gone. You know, so
I just, dude, I can't not groove to this beat, man.
It's one of my favorite albums. It's got some good stuff on there.
So okay, let's go down. Here's the other things that I have.
I think I went through all the ices, by the way. Ice cube, iced tea, ice baby, cold as ice.
How about talking about the fact that only 27% actually goes to research, the rest is overhead, right?
You have a choice to donate to that.
This the ALS research, whatever this organization is called, has gotten way more money than they've ever seen in their fucking lives. They have more money than they know what to do with. Now, this is a problem because what you're going to end up with is even more waste because now they're scrambling to, oh, we got to open up new offices and fund this research and that, and they're going to spend all this money on advertising now. And, well, they even spent some money on trademarking the term Ice Bucket Challenge so that...
Did they use money that was pledged to pay for that trademark?
I'm sure. But yeah, they're trying to trademark Ice Bucket Challenge and ALS Ice Bucket Challenge.
Let me say this. Having you said all that, I'm just going to say this. I'm not going to be shocked if maybe 5-10 years from now, there's a federal court case against someone high up in that organization for misappropriation of funds.
Oh, God. It's just begging.
Because you just cannot give that much money to a group of people to where there's not checks and balances where they're used to getting that much money without like the song you're playing says, you know, turn brother against brother, fucking the love of money, root of all evil right there. You're going to have people that are going to go, fuck, no one's looking. $50,000 check to this, you know, offshoot of the charity that just happens to be a cashier's check that goes into my private bank account overseas. It happens, so just saying, I'm not going to be surprised by that, and at that point, we're all going to be like, fucking Ice Bucket Challenge. Wasn't that some stupid shit from 10 years ago? Like, That was three social networks ago.
Okay.
I hope it's going to be the internet that stupid shit from 3 months ago pretty soon. That's I'm rooting for that.
Last beef with this, because I watched a video of a bunch of ice bucket challenge fails, which was rather entertaining. But there are people seriously injuring themselves, these fucking morons. The guys trying to dump, 15 gallons of water over their own heads and failing and smacking themselves in the face or falling in the shower. There is a looks like a man and a wife and their daughter. He's up on this high-ass balcony getting ready to dump like a big 20-gallon bucket of water on his wife. And the daughter runs up to get under there, too. And he ends up dropping the whole bucket,
man, Mr.
water and all, on top of them.
The name is Dumas.
And they've already bred, so we're fucked.
Yeah.
Shit. I was about to say something smart-ass about that. And then I realized
bred heavily.
Hey, man, been around the world and found only stupid people are breeding. You know what I'm saying? That's a prophetic line in that song. Because it's just, as the world got smaller with the internet and technology, the more and more I realized there's not whole groups of people who are way more intelligent than the people I know out there.
There's people getting together and fucking that shouldn't be getting together fucking because of the internet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The internet was keeping them separate until lately.
Well, how about this? Okay, fuck this. Real quick, name anyone you know besides Lou Gehrig, celebrity or not, who's died from ALS or suffers from it.
I can't.
What about you, Chris?
Nell Carter? I don't know.
No. Wait, give me a break, Nell Carter?
Yeah, I'm being a smartass. Oh, I don't fucking know.
That was diabetes that took her out. She lost a toe and then she just fucking fell out after that. The only guy I know who's famous, semi-famous, used to play guitar after Steve Vai left David Lee Roth's band, a guy named Jason Becker. To this day, he's still alive. He still composes music, but he's completely immobile. He has to have one of those computers that track his eyes, and he writes music like that. Like, he was the last wave of super technical guitarists to come out of the 80s.
Okay.
And the minute his album with David Lee Roth came out, he was diagnosed, and it was just over for him.
I have a list of famous people that had ALS. First of all, Lou Gehrig. Yeah. Stephen Hawking.
He has what? That's ALS? I thought he had a palsy of some sort, a cerebral palsy of some sort.
Yeah.
He really won the trifecta of sucking fucking diseases, and he's just got a couple that we don't.
Maybe he's got fucking everything. I don't know.
That's rough.
That's what it says on his chart. Well, fucking everything.
Well, he's already halfway to the singularity, Aaron.
So we see here, Mr. Hawking, that you're just pretty much fucked. All right. So
Mao Zedong, Chinese
Chairman
military.
Mao.
Oh, Mao. Okay, sorry.
Go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao.
Yeah.
You ain't going to mate with anyone anyhow.
Yeah.
Leadbelly.
Really? That's a name that actually sticks in my craw because it's like one of my peripheral influences growing up on guitar. Leadbelly, yeah.
Ready for this one? Charles Mingus.
Oh, I love Mingus.
Now I feel like an asshole. Where can I send my $10? Because I'm poor.
No, but Rich, these guys are dead already.
The guy
it's
who played. I'm going to just say the role he played because it's more famous than his name. The guy who played Perry White on Lois and Clark. Remember Lois and Clark?
Yeah.
Vaguely.
David Niven. Matter of Life and Death, Around the World in 80 Days. The Guns of Navarone, Pink Panther.
Okay, yep.
So yeah, timely reference.
Is it chronological?
Jason Becker.
Okay.
Does it say what, because I looked this up earlier, does it say what ALS stands for?
Lateral
sclerosis.
Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis.
Oh, okay. I don't know what that means. But
that's like when I fucked my knee up. I went to the doctor. I was like, so what's wrong? He goes, you tore your anterior, blah, 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 blah. I was like, is there a simpler way to put that? You fucked your ACL up.
I think
Thank
we pretty
doc.
Much...
Answers Andrew Dice Clay's question
Catfish
about multiple
Hunter.
Sclerosis.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But that's the last of the people we've heard of.
He's actually still alive. So, I mean, maybe they are making... Hey, look.
No, he's not.
He's not? Catfish Hunter? Okay, I give up. I was saying maybe they are actually...
You
want
to know when he
life.
Died so I feel like a super dumbass?
Really? What, 91?
Probably like our first day at Spec, September 9, 1999.
Oh, Jesus.
That's got to be around like our first day of Spec's hour.
Exactly. We weren't in the Associated Press...
We weren't getting the newswire reports yet.
Yeah.
We weren't
allowed
to touch it.
They didn't trust us.
Instead, we had
us.
To learn transmitter ops. Here, learn something that's going to be obsolete in 20 years.
Shit.
I tried to set up my own joke, but you guys squashed it.
Sorry.
Oh, What are you?
No, nothing. It was retarded anyway.
Oh, come on. We usually end on an Aaron joke that's like, wah, wah. So,
what do you got? What do you got?
Because it's some form of sclerosis. So I was like, this answers Andrew Dice Clay's question as to multiple sclerosis. Can't you just get it once?
So
this is the once.
Yes. You made us go through all that for somebody else's joke. That's wrong, man. Hey, please click through the Amazon banner and bookmark the page. When you buy something, Amazon's going to kick us back a little bit of money to help keep Christopher Media going. It's back to school time. You know, everybody buys everything on Amazon anyway. So just go there, click through, bookmark, help us out. Please and thank you.
So, Chris, you sent the link out on the story about Henry Rollins, right? Didn't you send that to me?
Yeah. It'd be nice if I read it. But yeah, I sent it to you.
You didn't read it?
Well, dude, I see a lot of things that I think would be good for us to talk about, and I just forward them to you guys.
This is show prep, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, no, okay, I defend myself. I'll read, like, the first paragraph and go, okay, we can do this.
Right. So if you're not aware, I think a lot of people heard about this, though. But Henry Rollins, who has a column in the LA Times, I believe it was. Anyway, he has a column, and he wrote about Robin Williams' suicide and how he lost respect for him over that. And he kind of talked about all the artists. Like, he looked at his record collection and his book collection and decided that, you know, all these people who took their own lives get put into a separate category, people who don't really deserve my respect. And he got, and also one of the things that kind of struck home with me a little bit, because I'm a father, he mentioned, how the hell can you possibly do that to your children? Now, obviously, this is a controversial issue, and he got a huge response from this, mostly negative. He got in a lot of trouble. He got a lot of people writing him, admonishing him for his beliefs. But
what do you guys think of it? Because, I mean, I'm on his side.
I'm totally not. Don't get me wrong. Respect Henry Rollins. I love Rollins Band. His stuff with Black Flag. Love the show on IFC. Love his spoken word material. I think he's talking out of his fucking ass, in my opinion. You're telling me that someone who's a parent who kills himself, that he's looking down on them, like, that's selfish. How can you do that? Okay, first of all, you're supposed to fucking, as a parent, you're supposed to die before your fucking child. So
yeah, but
so right there, he can no moral high ground for him on that one. In my
book. But you're not supposed to take yourself out.
Okay, let me tell you something. I watch my mom fucking struggle for her fucking last breath, and I'm gonna tell you what, that affected me worse than if she'd have just said, you know what, fuck it, I got cancer. It's all out throughout me. There's no way I'm surviving this. Let me check out on my own terms. And if I was in her situation, that's what I would have done. I told Aaron this earlier. If I ever go to the doctor and he goes, it's stage 4, it's metastasized. Hey, doc, can I get a printout of that? Why? Because that's my fucking suicide note. Bottom line, I'm not going out that fucking way. That's bullshit. And it's bullshit to expect my fucking family members to sit there and put up with it. And now Robin Williams is a different story. He, as far as we know.
Well,
he wasn't. It was a mental health issue with him. It wasn't
or,
a physical.
Or was it? I mean, we found out that he had the Parkinson's diagnosis.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Okay, yeah. So
I mean, a little preemptive, but that might have swayed his hand.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not like I disrespect someone who is like, I'm going to fight to the end, and I'm going to. You know what I'm saying? Like my mom did.
But yeah,
but I don't disrespect someone who goes, fuck this. I mean, if it was your cat, if it was a dog and it was suffering that much, we would go, let's humanely put it down. But because we're fucking humans, we have to force people to suffer.
Yeah, but
to the very end, that's.
But what Rollins is talking about is really suicide due to depression. You know, all the examples that he gave, Robin Williams and all the artists and writers that he said that whose art that he can enjoy, but they get put into a separate category as weaker, I don't know, it's definitely, he doesn't look at it as like taking things into your own hands and taking yourself out on your own terms. It's the coward's way out, is kind of how he's putting it.
Killing yourself is a cowardly, death is the one thing we all are fucking terrified of.
But deadbeat dads, right? Guy disappears, never associates with his kid, cuts him out of their life completely. They have essentially no dad anymore. How is that any different from a father committing suicide?
Because it's not black and white.
I know it isn't.
And this is, not, this is my problem. Henry Rollins is too intelligent.
But, okay.
To try to shape this issue into one way or the other.
I'm not saying it is. And you've brought up exceptional cases. Very good examples. But I think that's a separate issue.
But also, too, I think, from personal experience, too, you know when you're depressed. I'd dealt with it a little bit beginning of college. It's not.
What power does that give you, knowing that you're depressed?
It's something that you can, because you could seek help for it. It's something that you know is going on that you can try to get help for, rather than it's a different situation than Rich's, she was sick. They told her she was sick. They told her she wasn't going to make it. You can't do much. You know, you go, I'm sick. It's going to be over. But as far as depression, you are aware of it. You know, there's varying degrees. Don't get me wrong, but it's something that you can catch.
And also, if he didn't kill himself that day and felt better the next day, and you could pry into his mind, you'd probably find somebody who didn't want to kill themselves anymore.
Have either of you guys ever seriously looked in the fucking mirror and said, fuck it, and suicide has been an option that's on the table for you?
No.
No.
Neither of you?
No.
No.
No,
I guess I'm the fucking weird one.
I'm hanging out for the singularity, man. Fuck that shit.
And Chris is waiting for Jobs to rise from the dead. So, oh shit. No, but then I guess I'm the odd one out here, because I have. And
now with me, it could be. Remember, my brain was scrambled for 18 years. It could be that. That could be part of it.
I'll make that
point against me. So.
But no, I obviously I didn't go through with it because I'm sitting here talking to you. But I did. There have been times in my life where I'm just like, when you're depressed to that point, it just is all encompassing. There's, you feel like it's never going to go away. You talk to people, you go to a doctor, you go to a psychiatrist, they put you on the medication. They say, okay, we're going to get it adjusted to your body. We're going to get it just right, blah, blah, blah. And you just, you're never feeling better, but you're doing everything everyone tells you to do to feel better. And you get to that point and you're just like, fuck it. If it's not going to get any better than this, then what am I fucking wasting my time for? And it's not, I never was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to fuck this person. This person's going to feel bad when I'm gone. Never, when those thoughts went through my head in my darkest times, it was never at somebody else. It was, I just want the pain to fucking stop.
I think that's where Rollins is coming with the selfish it's all about you. It is when you make that, most people that make that final act, it's about them and escaping from, it's showing no consideration for the people around you that still care about you.
It is a selfish act, but it's a selfish act, not necessarily.
It's a little unfair for us to totally deconstruct just the first opinion piece, because there is a follow up to this since then. And he has evolved his thinking on this in his own words. So he recognized that he came off as very harsh. Now,
that's what he does. That's Henry Rollins. Henry Rollins does not sugarcoat things.
Well, his quote in his response, "To those who I offended, I believe you and apologize." Now, "I believe you" is an interesting thing to throw in there, because I think what he's really saying in there is, I actually believe there's a good section of you people that actually aren't offended. You just want something to be outraged about.
I also think there's a difference between apologize and sorry, but that's just me. Well, I think apologize is when you have to. I think apologize is the insincere one. I think sorry is when you really mean it. That's just me.
I think it's more of a technical term. It's like, to finish his quote, "If what I wrote causes you to toss me out of your boat, it is to my regret, but I understand and thank you for your thoughts." I think what he really understands here is that most of the people who had something negative to say about it were probably not fans of Henry Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people who are fans of Henry Rollins, who have followed him, who feel like they know him, this is a person who has put his life out there on stage for all of his adult life, whether he was singing in a punk band or just getting out there and speaking starkly about major things that happened to his life and thoughts that he has. He's shared so much with us, and his fans are rabid. And he knows that those are not the people that he's offending. So it really doesn't even matter to him.
Well, no, he knows it's probably soundbite.
At least that's
soundbite consumers who are hopping all over them. People who only read and speak in soundbites. Probably what's this?
Right, well, this is part of the "I believe you" part. This goes back to the "I believe you" part, where it's kind of like, why would you say that "I believe you"? You know, if you said, Rich, you told me right now that something I said last week highly offended you, I would not respond with "I believe you," right? Unless I really didn't, and I thought you had ulterior motives. Oh yeah, I believe that you're mad.
I think that,
and I'm sorry. I hope you believe that I'm sorry.
I think his follow up is classic Henry Rollins.
Yeah,
it's and like I said, I am a fan, and I'm not like, I just disagree with the man about the subject. You know what I'm saying? Sure. I can disagree with someone and agreeably disagree.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to turn into fucking Thunderdome. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't need to be fucking knock down, drag out, rumble tumble type shit. I just disagree with the man. And his life experience has put him to where he has his view on things. My life experience has taken me and given me my view on things.
Mm-hmm.
It's all subjective. I get it. You know, I am kind of shocked that he did say this did shock me, because I know that he's read Hemingway, he's read Hunter S. Thompson, he's fuck musicians, how many musicians have killed themselves?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So it come off as calloused how he was saying it, and I guess it was just like, you know, for as artsy fartsy and touchy feely and as liberal and as open minded as he likes to come off as, you're coming off really callous towards a group of people who, that's the last thing they fucking need. If someone's contemplating suicide, tough love, suck it up, buttercup, doesn't fucking work.
Mm-hmm.
That's just going to push them farther away. I mean,
he does talk a lot about his own depression in both of these opinion pieces, too. But he has this attitude of, well, that's my problem and mine alone, and nobody else should be suffering because of that. Whereas suicide is the opposite of that.
Is creating
suffering for those around you.
I get that, man, but
because of your problems and because of your actions.
I had a friend last year kill herself, and she had just lost her job. She was struggling to keep the vehicle she owned. She went out with her boyfriend, her sister, and her father, and they went out to a bar and caught a local band and, you know, did a little bit of drinking, whatever. She come home. Her dad and her boyfriend went to bed. Her sister was like, are you going to be okay, Brittany? And she's like, yeah, you know. She's like, well, you're really fucked up. You're really drunk. Are you going to be all right? And she's like, yeah, I'm fine. And then 3 hours later, Heather walked in to the kitchen, and Brittany had hung herself in the kitchen. I mean, her sister found her. And then she screamed, and her dad ran in. So her dad, you know. So I get it. That is, to me, really, yes, that is a very selfish way to go about killing yourself. And this was a friend of mine, and I'm not speaking lightly about this, but yeah. I understand. Like I said to you guys earlier, if I get the shitty news from the doctor, then it's just like, there's no way you're going to survive. I'm not going to like blow my head off in front of my friends and family. I'm going to like drive out to a park, call 911 and go, you got a suicide on your hands at this park, and pull the fucking trigger and let them clean it up. Someone who is not, you know what I'm saying? It's not attached to me.
Right.
It's just another dead fucking body.
I think where I'm agreeing with Rollins is the selfish act. Where I stop agreeing with him is that relegates you forever in a separate category of somebody that I think of as a lesser life form.
Exactly. That's what blew my mind.
Right. Now, the extreme example that I used earlier in our conversation, but I think it's apt, is somebody who is like a sexual deviant, like, you know, child molester or something like that. And if you find out that, you know, so-and-so is a child molester, even rumored to be, you kind of put that person into a separate category. Oh, they're that type of person. Somebody I do not want to associate with. Somebody that I would think is a lesser life form, and most people probably wouldn't agree, would agree with me on that.
Yeah.
He's kind of doing the same thing with people who commit suicide. He's putting them in a separate box. You are lower than me. I have lost respect for you. You do not deserve my respect. So I can agree with the idea that it's kind of a cheap way out, that it's a shitty way out that affects people around you, but I still have sympathy. That he seems to have no sympathy even for somebody who I don't know, maybe he is the rare person who actually has suffered from severe depression and not had suicidal thoughts, because I've never talked to one.
Oh, no, no, no.
I've never talked to anybody who says that they seriously suffer from depression that has not contemplated it.
Yeah, I mean, and don't get me wrong. Like I said, it's ran through my head, but it's never been sitting with a fucking loaded gun to my temple,
right,
on the table. You know what I'm saying? It's just been like, it's kind of, I keep going back to him, but it's kind of like Hunter S. Thompson said, I would feel real trapped in this life if I didn't know suicide was an option.
Yeah.
I've been to that point, you know. It was some real dark shit I was going through, and I was just at that point. And for whatever reason, I didn't go down that road. You know what I'm saying? I said, okay, look, if you feel this bad, then maybe here's the option. You're either going to do it or you're not. And I pulled back and was like, whoa, that's, mm-hmm. I know. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's fucked up.
We had the foresight to know that was some dark shit that you were going through.
Yeah. But, and that's the problem. People who really suffer from deep, deep, deep depression, unless you've been there, you don't understand it. You don't get it. It's like we talked about it.
But I mean, could you see it coming? I mean, does it start as deep, deep, or did it mean that's?
I'll go into it in detail. This is flat out. This is what happens. It's like a wave. It's like a mm-hmm. wave. Like if you were watching a wave in the ocean, you can see mm-hmm. the wave building and building and building, and then it breaks. And that's how it is. Like when I feel the depression coming, I know it's coming, and it's just like coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, and I'm just waiting for the wave to break. To where this is the high water mark. It's not going to get any worse than this. It's only going to get better. But mm-hmm. the higher that wave goes, the longer you think, oh my God. It's just every day I wake up and I feel worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. It's not getting fucking better.
But you're proving kind of you can see it coming.
Now
you
know, I guess now I can. Yeah. When I was mm-hmm. younger, I had no idea. I didn't understand it. Like now when I start getting that way, it's almost like take a step outside of myself and go, okay, calm down. You've been through this before. You know shit's going to be all right eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Let's, you know, do something. Go fucking see a goddamn movie. Go to fucking dinner and have a fucking steak dinner. Something. Give yourself something to where instead of just sitting there going, oh my God, it's just never going to get any fucking better. It's never going to get any fucking better. It's never going to get any. And that is a mantra that plays, at least in my head, when I get into those situations over and over and over again. And it fucking sucks because it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're telling yourself it's never going to get fucking better. Well, of course it's not going to get any fucking better because it's all you fucking think about. And it's like, try not to think about this.
Right.
Now you're obsessing about what I just told you not to think about. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see what I'm saying?
It's the misunderstanding that most people have who don't suffer from depression. I understand that I have no firsthand experience of severe clinical depression. I think everybody's experienced phases in their life. But a lot of people, and this tends to be older people who didn't grow up with, seeing a psychiatrist or anything like that was just a weird thing, something that broken people do. But
well, yeah, pussy over there talking to that psychiatrist.
Right. But there's this idea of, well, it's your brain. Why can't you just think your way out of it? It's to them, it's like saying, oh, my hand keeps coming up and choking. My right hand keeps choking me. So, and I will just fucking make it stop.
It's like we talked about.
But that's almost what it's like. It's like you can't control it. It's choking you out and you don't have direct control over it.
It's like we talked about with the Robin Williams episode. It's like people go, well, you're depressed. Have you tried not being depressed?
Yeah.
Okay, I have full-blown AIDS. Have you tried not having full-blown AIDS? Yeah, it didn't work real well. You know what I'm saying?
Why did you allow the AIDS to infest your body?
Yeah, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Power of positive thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Here's some herbs. We went to Zerbo's for you.
We can't end this episode on this note.
Have you guys heard about the bigger iPad? I guess I've always subscribed to the Nietzsche philosophy, though, as far... Am I dead? Nope. Then we could try again tomorrow. When I would just deal with my little bout with it, I just slept. Said, you know what, I'm just going to go to bed and tomorrow will be, you know, but I guess everybody does it their different way.
Well, no, that's the way it manifested itself with you. With me, it's insomnia. I can't sleep. I can't eat. Mm-hmm. I can't hold anything down. Like my gut is is killing me. Anything I put in my body comes back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but also you're talking, Chris, about depression that people go through. I think that everybody experiences at some point in their life, or Or, mm-hmm. or are you describing like a clinical depression?
I had like mild depression when I first went away to college, mm-hmm. you know, but it got to a point where I knew it got to a point for me where I knew that I had been bummed out for an abnormally long period of time, to where it was just like, hey man, you better, you know, I went and took advantage of the counseling at the health center, you know, and was just, right. I was having a tough time.
See, I don't consider that clinical depression, because the difference is that, yeah, if a person is not clinically depressed, they can kind of have that third person view of things and go,
well, I was kind of stuck in that loop Rich was talking about, like it's not going to get any better, but I realized that I was getting in that, and then I went and, you know, right. and I went and talked to somebody,
right. Now in people who suffer from clinical depression, that's not really an option. You don't have that other voice in your head going, oh, but this is not, all this is temporary, right? A person who has good mental health in general, but suffers from depression, can have that voice still in their head of, this is not how things should be. Things will get better. You lose that voice when you go clinical.
Yes.
You do not mm-hmm. have that part of you saying, hey, it's all right. It's all going to pass. There's always tomorrow.
When I was a kid and I would get this way, I had no idea what it was. Like, my family would look at me and go, Jesus Christ, you're fucking 8 and you're walking around like you're a fucking 80-year-old man. What's mm-hmm. wrong with you? Buck up. You know, and I'm like, I don't know. I couldn't articulate it. I didn't understand it. It's only been probably in the last 5 to 10 years that I've actually been able to go, okay, this is something that is wrong in my wiring. Okay. Yeah. Normal people get down, and they get in the dumps, and they get over it. I get down, I get in the dumps. And it turns into some fucking horrible, horrible shit. And I've had to learn to pull the reins back on it and go, okay, right. I see it coming. It's my responsibility to do something about this. Because if I don't, I know where it could go.
Right.
So
I kind of think, I feel...
To piggyback, I kind of get where Henry Rollins was going with that. Because yeah. it is your responsibility to maintain your mental health.
Right. He says when he feels that way, he doesn't go out into the public. You know, he stays in the hotel room or whatever. He just chooses not to.
Same here.
Right.
I mean, that's one of my biggest fears with the show, is that I'm going to fucking get into a funk and you guys are going to be like, man, we ain't heard from him in 3 weeks. Because that's how I am. I'm just like, just leave me the fuck alone. Mm-hmm. I can't deal with anything. I go to work because I have to.
Right.
And I'm at work and everyone's like, you're not your usual self. You're not cracking jokes. You're not, you know, what's going on? I'm like, I'm fine. My job performance does not suffer, but people go, dude, you're not yourself. What's up?
Right.
But yeah, I'm that way too. I understand that. But at the same time, it's my responsibility to handle that. I can't fucking put that on someone else. And so I guess here we go. Call me the flip-flopper. I guess I'm coming around to his way of looking at it, because it's like, yeah, I guess it is a selfish thing to, you know, to kill yourself. But if you've never been to those depths, you don't understand what goes through your fucking head.
Well, to your point, too, I do wholeheartedly support the idea of personal freedom in this. You do have the right to kill yourself. And I don't think that we should be trying to stop anybody based on, well, what's that going to mean to other people? Mm-hmm. You're going to disappoint your grandkids if you choose to check out early and not suffer. You know, that would be a criticism that somebody might have against that.
Which, by the way, Rich, you said you'd go, you know, gun in the park. Not me. I'm stealing a car. I'm having sex with hookers without condoms. I'm scoring heroin. I'm trying meth.
You're going to be living out Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. I'll go out like, that's how I will commit suicide. Gunned down by the cops.
You know how I would go? Strap a bomb to a lion and ride it off a cliff. Boom. <Hey.
laughs> I'm just saying. Because I got the bad news and Jennifer Connelly was like 5 feet away from me, I would probably bury my balls so deep into her, the guy who pulled me out would be the next king of England. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would fucking, like...
You can always, dude,
I would
hang yourself tomorrow.
I'd go to, like, a Chevy lot. I'd ask to take a vet for a test drive. Never bring that bitch back. Get in a high-speed police chase.
I could see you just going out, like, fucking, mm-hmm. just, like, Scarface
Syringe
style.
In my arm while the cops are gunning me down.
Man.
What's his deal? He's 80 years old, just got told he has terminal cancer. Hooker with herpes blowing me while this is all happening.
I think that's a great note to take this episode yes. out on. Because it's not getting any higher than that, apparently.
literally or figuratively.
I did have on my list that we were going to talk about the new bigger iPad, but I think we ran out of time.
If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. That's who we use to host all of the Christopher Media shows, like Unregimented. We come out every Monday and Thursday, the Weedsman Podcast every Friday, M&M Question Everything every Sunday, and the Todd Deluxe Pod. But whenever the fuck he feels like it, maybe we'll address that with him. Like, hey, man, we have some consistency or what, man? Keep dashing our hopes against the rocks.
Rich drove through 5.5 hours of flooded Metro Detroit for a show. You can't stay connected for more than 40 minutes.
Yeah. But when you sign up for HostGator by clicking through our link, you are helping to support ChristopherMedia.net.
Okay, I worship at the altar of jobs. Didn't they just make the iPad smaller?
Yeah, they made it smaller, and then they...
Now here's a big one.
Yeah, 12.9 inches. Now you're just showing off, Apple. That's a little excessive.
Now Apple is the guy in the locker room who's hung like a horse, and he's just walking around without a towel.
Right. Yeah, I air dry.
That should be the commercial. It's just some dude walking around, and his dick's like got an iPad over it like the whole time to obscure it instead of a black box. Chick walks by and the iPad goes into horizontal mode.
Yeah, the new iPhone is coming out. It's supposedly
bigger too.
Big. And you know what?
Can we make up our minds? Like, do we want technology to be smaller or bigger?
I had this conversation with somebody the other day. It might have been you. I want my phone.
It's like a brick, an iPhone. It's like a fucking brick.
I want my phone to be phone size. Am I the only person left?
I've given up on that.
I don't want my phone to be halfway between the size of my fucking tablet and my laptop. Yeah, all right.
I had to give up on that a long time ago, but for the longest time, because I started buying cellular phones early and I had, you know, big ass, you know, brick ones, and I liked the feel of it. And ever since like the flip phone started becoming real popular, I felt like I was going to break it all the time, which I did. And that I was just like holding a piece of paper up to my face and trying to talk into it. So yeah, I agree with you on that.
I think the iPhone 5 is the perfect size. Don't fuck with it. It's a phone size.
Yeah. There's a chick walking around in Grosse Pointe that had a like old-fashioned hand receiver, like cradled. She's walking down the street with that cradled in her shoulder, and it's connected into her back. It was attached to her phone.
I've seen those.
I love it.
It's hilarious.
Because nothing hurts your neck more than like you're trying to do something else, and you try and, you know, cradle that thin ass phone up against you. There's no way. Oh, there's no way.
So okay, we're
Bluetooth
pro suicide kind of. Pro smaller phones, pro smaller iPads. We don't need the Ron Jeremy iPad. We don't need the fucking hedgehog, you know, 12.9 inches. We've pretty much covered a lot of shit today.
There's a heavy episode. I'm just trying to lighten it up at the end.
Oh, my God, dude. Can we just have another drunken episode?
I tell you a joke, but you know that my jokes are very unsatisfying.
No, Chris, we need to have another drunken episode because the drunken episode, I was like, oh, God, we just rambled. But I laughed my ass off listening to it.
Yeah.
So we need to just lighten the mood. I just need to find another job so I can smoke weed and we can just have a fucking high-ass episode.
You know, I was thinking, just based on the dynamic we have seemed to accidentally created, is maybe do one show a week that's like this. It's just fucking you tackle serious shit in the news and hate and discontent. And then, you know, maybe the Thursday show is comic books, you know, movies.
Yeah.
You know what? You have one heavy, one light one.
I could see it. I kind of had along the same lines thought, because I think we did it good when we did them back to back. On top of that, you know, Aaron over here fucking, when he went upstairs and he come down, he had to button up shirt off. I was like, oh, shit. Shit just got real. You know what I'm saying? It's about to be a good one, you know?
Cool. Thank you for that. I guess that's it. 18. We're going to go pretend to vote like we all do every couple of years.
Even numbered years.
Yeah, the false construct, which
18,
is the...
I finally have the right to exercise my right to not vote.
Mm-hmm. I can exercise my right to continue not giving a fuck. Wonderful. Outstanding. By the way,
I used to believe in voting, and then I don't know. Like I started reading things.
Like I said in another one, I think local voting is doing way more than national voting, but that's just That's just me and the cynic in me.
No, that's absolutely right. I think, well, maybe next time. Let's tackle that next time.
But I do have to say, we're
didn't work out so well in Detroit in the 2000s, did it? But
well, we had our hip hop mayor at that point.
Don't be that guy. But, points to like one example and just says, here's my local
one
voting
super
is.
Egregious fucking felonious example.
Well here's
should I bring true. Up the city of Chicago? Should I bring them up too?
I seriously thought him and I were going to butt heads more over this whole suicide
you
thing.
You know, I thought that we were going to get to some ISIS talk, but I guess maybe we'll try and save that for next time.
Yeah.
But I did just real quick, because you guys had mentioned Aaron twice now. I finally found somebody who beat me in the name alphabet. Well, my name is spelled with two A's. Who beats me? If you alphabetized first names.
Three A's.
Three. I would
triple A round.
No. His name's Afia. A-A-F-I-A. So he gets just ahead of A-A-R. It's fine. The first name that I found that beats me in the alphabet.
Wait. Afia?
Afia. This is actually...
He's Middle Eastern, right?
Afia Siddiqui is the guy who ISIS is asking to be released in exchange for the hostage that was announced today, the woman. Yeah. They want $6.6 million, very specific. I said they must have good bookkeepers, so they know exactly what they need. And
Chris, didn't you say you're Arab? Can't you, like, put a good word in for us?
I'll make it up at the meetings.
Like, I'll talk to the IRA. You talk to, you know, ISIS, and then Eric, I don't know what the fuck you are.
Scotch and Irish.
Oh, shit, you can come to my meeting then.
Yeah.
There we go.
Really? Your last name's pretty Jewy.
Yeah, I did think that. I was like, is he Jewish?
Mall Hillbilly. Actually.
Downriver Hillbilly. I'm from Pennsylvania.
No, yeah, anyway, I won't get into my heritage. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. Because we
I'll
do.
I'll bring my crest next week. You guys can check it out.
It's two drunk guys fighting.
Hey, just remember, gentlemen, as the warrior poet Ice Cube said, "If the day does not require an AK, it is good." So
yes,
that's right.
Just remember.
Which is most days for me. We already talked about gun control. All right.
I know. I love how I'm the gun guy now. I just love that. I don't even own one, but. Apparently,
well, just you come off as very pro gun. But
I'm pro blowjob too. But we don't. I'm not like the blowjob guy.
Yeah, you're so into blowjobs. Why aren't you giving them out in the corner?
Oh,
I broke Chris. I feel good.
On that note. Thank you for... Did I already thank him for listening? I don't know. I got to plug something else.
Just thank you for paying attention. We appreciate it.
Thank you for still being with us at this point.
Yeah, and thanks for all the new subscribers. I found a nifty little plugin to put on our website that actually can track the number... Well, it can only track the number of subscribers as of August 16th and forward. But, I mean, it seems we're picking up like at least 10 a week.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, for people who have other podcasts. Ooh. Ten subscribers.
Who are these folks listening to this show anyway?
You sure those 10 a week aren't coming from Westland, Michigan, and I'm just re-listening to episodes over and over and over? You sure that's not right?
It's based on unique requests for the feed to get all technical on you from unique IP addresses.
Unique requests.
Anyways, football season. Dude, it's here. Can we just make them can we just do 20 games? Do we have to pretend that we care about preseason before we go into the regular season? Let me just do the 20 game schedule. They're playing 20 games anyways. I don't want to watch people make the team.
I can pretend don't care.
Huh? What?
That's easy. Sorry, never mind.
He's hating on sports.
I am
here.
Not. I am not.
I don't care. I don't even have to pretend.
Get Aaron a t-shirt just as sports on it.
I know, right?
Like my football lighter. Did you ever see that?
No.
And the lighter, because usually you go to buy a Bic and it's like they got just all tigers and lions and all that shit. And then there's just one that's just got it's white and it's got a black football on it. And that's it. And I'm like, give me that one. That says, I like football. Not even the sport. I just like the shape of that ball.
Oh, man.
It's very unique.
The gift that keeps giving.
Yep.
A-A-Rod. We can just isolate half-ish. The best one was, well, unless you're going to punch me in the face and stomp on my balls, I'm not going to come. And I was just like, oh, that is so great.
I have it isolated.
I want that as my fucking like notification if I get a text now.
I also
just imagine in Detroit, I'm just sitting there and all of a sudden that just pops up. Fuck's wrong with this white boy?
Have you heard the latest Weedsman? I like Jews mostly. I have that as well. I couldn't wait. I had to bust that out on the Weedsman.
Now I'm going to have to go home and listen to it.
Hey, it is Jewish women, so, you know.
I've got Rob isolated when we were doing the Simpsons quiz, and it was what was Sideshow Bob's middle name. And I didn't even hear it at the time. I don't think you did either. Rob's first response is Wilther.
Wilther?
I'm listening back, editing. I'm like, what the fuck is Wilther? Like, he just made up a name. He like combined two or three names together and just pulled that out of his ass. I got him isolated.
The real answer is Underdunk.
It actually was Underdunk.
Just as preposterous.
Right. Jesus. But I love that he went straight to making up names. That was fantastic. Hats off to him.
Which, hey, by the way, one more short little ramble here.
Yes.
Kudos to you for pulling two good episodes out of that recording session. Because that was Rob, Rich, if you don't know, Rob brought a blend of like the last three kinds of like kind bud that he's got.
Yeah.
And we put this thing in that big red bong.
It was terrible.
And you could actually hear the moment where we all become like retarded.
You can follow it around the room. Like in the conversation, like Rob just drops out of the conversation.
You can hear us.
And then Chris just goes, whoa. And then I'm still talking and the bong gets passed to me and I'm just like, what the fuck is in that? And it just spirals just quickly down. It was like it just pulled the plug and just watched it all.
Yeah, we've decided that's not only a once a month thing, and it will be the last bowl smoked.
You have to wait to the very end
session.
Well, this is the in case of emergency.
Yeah, Rob's got it at home in a gun safe, you know, with a retina scan.
I will say this though, I'm a huge
trying to reverse engineer it.
I'm a huge Weird Al fan, so I did appreciate the bonus nugget.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't that one? It was the one with the Simpsons in the episode last Friday was that recording session where we ended it. We were like, Jesus Christ. It was like you with one of our podcasts, Rich. It was like, hey, it'd be looking at Aaron. Fucking good luck with that one, buddy.
All right.
But yeah, we started talking about football. And then we got into a 10-minute tangent. But yeah, DraftKings, it's one day fantasy sports. My whole weekend is, when I come back, it's filled with, I got two fantasy drafts, and I am super excited. However, more than likely, I'm going to dick the dog on this one. I always do. I do well at fantasy baseball, basketball, football, and I fuck it up every year. I'm stuck with that team all year, but in DraftKings, I can just keep trying. I keep trying for 16 weeks until I get one right, damn it. Christopher Media listeners are winning real money every day at DraftKings. Fantasy football, it's back. There's no way to say it's on its way. It's back. DraftKings giving away, you'll hear this week, they're giving away $5 million kickoff week with their $5 million kickoff bash. Please click through the banner on ChristopherMedia.net and sign up today. Alrighty, guys. Hate and discontent complete for another session. We will catch you on Monday.
Later.
Thanks for listening.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.